our hearts. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee this evening for the message that has been read to us and the beautiful hymns that have been sung regarding that night in which the Saviour was born and the purpose of His coming, that He might save the souls of men and women. We thank You for the message that was brought to Mary all those years ago, and as we consider it now, may our hearts be settled and still. May the Spirit of God speak with that still, small voice. And any that may be here that have never come to personally know the Lord Jesus, may they receive Him by faith tonight and receive Him as their Shepherd and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take as my text to speak on this evening the words of verse 48 of Luke chapter 1, where we read, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call Me blessed." These words are part of Mary's song. Singing had a prominent place in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The night in which the Saviour was born, you will recall that the angels brought the glad tidings to the shepherds and instructed them to go to Bethlehem, where they would find the babe, the Christ child, in a stable, in a manger there in Bethlehem. And it tells us that the angel was joined by a heavenly host, and they were singing and praising the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world is something to sing about. Singing is the mark of joy and the mark of cheerfulness, and so it's something to sing about. The fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this world to redeem sinners from all iniquity. But months before the angels sang about the coming of Christ into the world, Mary sang about this wonderful message. The angel Gabriel had appeared unto her in the earlier part of this chapter that Pauline read for us this evening. And the angel Gabriel appeared to her and informed her that she would give birth to the Messiah, the promised deliverer and Savior. And you will notice in verse 38, we didn't read this verse, but in verse 38, though Mary had lots of questions and didn't really understand how it could be, when the angel told her this news, Mary submitted to it. It tells us, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever it costs, it would cost her her reputation. It would cost her great sacrifice. But according to thy word, be it unto me. She submitted to the word of the Lord. And as Christians, those that are saved and born again, we are to submit ourselves to the word of God and live by it, no matter what it cost us. Mary, she submitted to the angel's message, the word of the Lord. And then she shared the message, because in verse 41, we read that she came to speak to Elizabeth. Verse 40, she entered into the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth, her cousin. She went to reside there for the period of her pregnancy, or a certain part of it, and she confided in her older cousin Elizabeth. And of course, Elizabeth was with child. John the Baptist would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever Mary told the news to Elizabeth, that the angel had appeared, that she would be the mother of the Messiah, she would give birth to the Christ child. The babe within Elizabeth's womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She shared the news that the Christ child was coming into the world. As God's children, those that are saved and redeemed by blood, we're not only to submit our lives to the teaching of God's word, but we are to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others, that they might have joy and gladness too. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's a message that we are all to share. So Mary, she submitted to the word. She shared the good news of the gospel. And then she sang in verse 46, 47 and 48. When Elizabeth heard that Mary was with child, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the babe in her womb leapt for joy, Elizabeth blessed Mary, said that she would be blessed among women, and it was then that Mary broke out into song. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And this is a song, being no doubt about it. "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." There's much that we could say about this song. There's Mary's recognition. She recognizes she needed a Saviour. God my Saviour. She realized she needed a Saviour. She was a sinner. Mary was not without sin, and yet the miracle was that though Mary was a sinner who needed a Savior, she gave birth to one who was without sin. What a miracle that was. She recognized her need of a Savior. She sang about the Redeemer, "God, my Savior." Her Redeemer was the Lord, and there was a rejoicing, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." But it's verse 48. From this song that I just want to focus your attention on in the closing moments of the meeting this evening. And I want you to see that from these words are applicable in the gospel. Every one who experiences God's salvation could say these words. And if you're not a Christian, then this is what you need to see. This is what you need to experience, need to understand. "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." I want you firstly to notice there Mary speaks of her condition. She speaks of the low estate of his handmaiden. And that's a very humble description of Mary's condition, her low estate. Now from the gospel narrative, we can only conclude that Mary and her husband Joseph were numbered among the common people. They were not rich. They were not privileged. They did not have any high position within society, either within the established Jewish church or within the realm of ruling over man. There was none of that in Mary and Joseph's household. They were just common, ordinary, hard-working people. Joseph was the common carpenter. When Jesus, his enemies wanted to put him down, when he began his ministry, they said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? He's only the son of a carpenter." They were just common people. And Mary recognizes that when she says and she speaks of her low estate. And yet, if you study the Gospels, you will discover that Mary should have been the queen. And Joseph should have been a king. You see, the Gospels record the genealogy of Christ, and it's the genealogy of Mary and Joseph as well. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 16, records the lineage of Jesus from Mary and Joseph, right back to Abraham. And it tells us that he was the direct, according to the flesh, the direct descendant of David. And then when you turn over to Luke's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel chapter 3, you read another lineage or genealogy of Jesus from verse 23 to verse 38. And you see the skeptics and the critics of the Bible, they pick up on this and they say those genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, they're different. And therefore the Bible's inaccurate. Matthew records one list of names going back to David and Abraham, and Luke lists another list of names going back to David and Abraham and right back to Adam. Men and women, the answer is very simple. Matthew's account records the genealogy, the fathers and the forefathers of Joseph. That's why it stops at Abraham. That's when the nation of Israel began with Abraham. The promise was given to Abraham. And Joseph's genealogy stops with Abraham. But then you come to Luke and you read Luke's narrative of the fathers and forefathers. And it goes right back to Adam. You see, it's the lineage and the genealogy of Mary. And that's why there are different names. But they still go back to David and to Abraham. And why do they go right back to Adam? Because it was there that the promise was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that the Messiah would be not the seed of a man, but the seed of the woman. That the Messiah would be virgin born. And because Luke records the genealogy of Mary, it goes right back to Adam and to Eve, because it was then the promise was given that the Redeemer would be the seed of the woman. And what you discover is that Joseph was the direct descendant of David, and therefore, had the captivity not taken place in the books of Daniel and Jeremiah, Joseph would have sat upon the throne and been king of Judah. He would have been King Joseph of Judah. And Mary would have been Queen Mary of Judah. But something happened along the way whereby those families were plunged from the throne down, as it were, into the common affairs of life. What was it, men and women? You take time to read the end of 2 Kings. You read the book of Jeremiah and you discover that it was the captivity. The Babylonians came and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they took the Jews and the into servitude in Babylon. And when they returned, there was no king or queen to sit upon the throne. Do you know why they went into captivity? Because the professing people of God sinned. They turned their back on God. They embraced the false gods of the nations. They turned away from the Lord. They committed spiritual apostasy. And God sent the Babylonians to bring them into captivity. And the point I'm making to you is this. What brought Mary to that low estate? It was sin. Men and women, is there not a picture of man in Mary's confession? He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve knew God. They walked with God. They served God. They dwelt in heavenly places with the Lord. But when Eve sinned, that was all destroyed. Sin separated man from God. Sin brought God's chastening upon man. Sin plunged man from the heights of heavenly places, blessings and privileges, into the miry clay and pit of sin, and brought man low, separated from God. And I want to tell you tonight, if you are not a Christian, if you've never had your sins forgiven, if you've never been born again of God's Spirit, then you're in a low estate. You're in a state of sin. You're in the miry clay of sin, sinking to destruction. And that little phrase describes you. Mary's condition, she speaks about her low estate. Low because of sin. But then I want you secondly tonight to notice not only Mary's condition, but God's consideration. Look at the first part of verse 48. For He, that is the Lord, God, hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. God considered Mary. God regarded Mary in her low estate. While others would ignore her, she was just, if we'd have been living in Nazareth, and that's where she was dwelling in that area at that time, she would have just been what we would have termed a common young girl. You'd have passed her in the street. You'd maybe have said hello. She wouldn't have stood out in any way. She was just an ordinary girl. And yet God favored her. God regarded her. God considered her. And how did He favor her? How did He visit her? He favored her by giving to Mary the gift of His Son to bring into the world and to cherish and to love and to mother. The carol, not sure which one that it is, but it sums it up so well. Christ is the babe. He never ceased to be God, but yet in His humanity, He was the helpless babe dependent upon His mother. He grew and He developed into a boy and then a man, and Mary, as his mother, had a vital and important role to play in that whole upbringing of the Lord Jesus. God favored this woman by giving to her His Son to bring into the world and be a mother too. And in the passage that we read, the angel from the Lord described this gift to Mary. From verse 31 and verse 32, just look at those verses. This is how God regarded and considered and remembered and favored Mary by giving to her His Son. And He's described, you'll see in verse 31, we see His grace. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. His very name speaks of grace. For Jesus means Jehovah is Savior. And there you have the mystery and the miracle of the incarnation, that the one who was eternal Jehovah God, He became man to be our Savior. And to be our Savior, He had to live a perfect life. When He was abused, when He was taunted, when He was mocked, and He was despised, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. He bore patiently with man, and He lived a perfect and a sinless life. And then He went to the cross, and He was crucified. And as part of that crucifixion, The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was smitten of God and afflicted to bear the chastisement and the punishment for our sins, that through the poverty of his death, we might be rich and have the riches of eternal life. The name Jesus means Jehovah our Savior, and it reminds us of the grace of God in that he loved us and came to this world to die for our salvation. You'll notice it speaks, these verses, this gift that Mary was given is described not only for his grace, but his greatness. Verse 32, he shall be great. Greatest man that ever lived. Remember, it was said of him, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonah is here. Oh, Christ was the greatest prophet because he did spiritually what Jonah typified. Jonah went into the belly of the whale and down into the depths for 3 days and 3 nights and then was vomited forth by the whale. And it was said that the sign of Jonas would be fulfilled by the Savior, that he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, but that he would come forth and rise again from the dead. That's how great he was. He conquered death. And he conquered death for his people, that we might conquer and triumph over death also. His grace, his greatness. Then it speaks of his godliness. He shall be great, verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest is a title for the Son of God. He was not only the Son of Man, but he was and is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was Elijah. Some said he was one of the prophets, risen again. And he turned to Peter and he said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son of God. Jesus replied, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. And the title, the Son of God, is a title of deity, a title of the Godhead. And that title is given to one who was God manifested in the flesh. He was the Son of the Highest, God manifested in the flesh. And then this verse speaks, revealed to Mary, speaks of his glory. His grace, his greatness, his godliness and his glory. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Savior had no earthly glory at his first coming. He was despised and rejected of men. He came unto his own and his own received him not. They despised and rejected him. And yet it is prophesied not only of the rejection of the Savior, but the reign of the Savior. The Lord would give him the throne. My friends, he will take that throne and he will reign and he will rule from that throne. And he will rule and he will reign throughout the ages of eternity. Because the cross came and the crown of thorns came before the crown of glory. The cross came before the throne. One day he will descend in the clouds of glory. And he will then sit upon the throne of his glory. And he will separate between the sheep and the goats, the saved and the unsaved. And he will usher them into the eternal state. Now the question is, where will you be on that great day? God's consideration and visitation of Mary in her low estate. He sent to her the message of his dear Son. One who was gracious in his salvation. One who would be great in his victory over death. one who was God manifested in the flesh, one who would have eternal glory and reign throughout the countless ages. This consideration and visitation of Mary mirrors God's consideration and visitation of humanity in general. He remembers that we are dust. He viewed humanity in sin and their state of rebellion against Him. And yet rather than judging humanity when Adam sinned, God gave the promise of a Savior. And in the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son into the world, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law and provide that redemption for all who will believe. The question is, will you be like Mary? Will you receive the message of Christ? Will you submit to the message of Christ? Will you see that you are a sinner in low estate, in a state of sin? Will you recognize that God has intervened, sending His Son, and that you must repent and believe the gospel? If you're ever to know and experience eternal life and reign with Him when He returns the second time to receive the throne that was promised to Him all those years ago. Mary's condition, she speaks of her low estate. God's consideration, He hath remembered the low estate of His handmaiden. But then finally tonight, I want you just to notice in closing the saint's commendation. The final part of verse 48. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Mary was truly blessed among women. And the generations that have risen afterwards have recognized that. She was blessed to give birth to the Redeemer. She was blessed to raise the Redeemer. She was blessed to watch the perfect conduct of the Redeemer. She was blessed to listen to the ministry and the messages of the Redeemer when He began His public ministry. She was blessed to witness His mighty miracles and His saving power. She was blessed to watch Him at Calvary. And though broken-hearted, she witnessed the Son that she bore lay down His life, shed His blood as the sacrifice and means of salvation for sinners. How blessed she was. And let me tell you, though our eyes and our ears did not see and behold what Mary witnessed, yet I say to you that it is true of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that we too are blessed. And we too are blessed in the gospel. Listen to the words of Galatians 3, verse 8 and 9. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is the Gentiles, and that's you and me. We're Gentiles. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Seeing that the Gentiles that believed in the promised Redeemer would be justified by faith, the Scripture calls us blessed. People think today you're blessed if you have plenty of money, if you own lots of land, or you have power and influence in this world. But the Bible says you're blessed if you have believed in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, and your Saviour. And I want to tell you tonight in closing, if you are trusting in the Lord, you are blessed. Blessed because of the spiritual good things that God has given to you. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he lists them. We're blessed because we were chosen in Christ. We're blessed because we are redeemed by Christ. We're blessed because we're adopted into the family of Christ. We're blessed because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit under Christ. We're blessed because one day we'll be gathered with Christ in heaven. We're blessed because we have an inheritance in Christ in heaven. We're blessed because we'll share in the glory of Christ. It's all there in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. And as the generations have called Mary blessed, so, my friend, you are blessed. There's a wee chorus. The young people sometimes sing it. We are blessed, we are blessed. Every day of our lives we are blessed. From we lift our head, something that we wake up in the morning. That's it. Took a preacher's blank there. That's what happens when you go off script. From we wake up in the morning, do we lay our heads to rest? We are blessed. We are blessed. My friend, are you blessed at this Christmas time? Not because of the gifts you'll receive or you'll give, but because you have Jesus Christ in your soul. Are you blessed? Like Mary, blessed with the gift of God's salvation. I'm going to ask Carol to come and sing our final piece, and then we'll close in a wee word of prayer.